1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Columbia University over 3 years will pay millions to the federal government to settle anti-discrimination investigations. CBS's Matt Piper with more.
The deal between Columbia University and the Trump administration has the school paying $221 million to the federal government in order to restore research money. The administration pulled the funding because of what it described as the Ivy League school's failure to squelch anti-Semitism on campus over the Israel-Hamas war. The multi-million dollar settlement could put pressure on other schools like Harvard to also reach a deal.
CBS News has learned that the government is on a path to record more than 300,000 deportations in President Trump's first year back in the White House. That would be the highest level of ICE deportations since fiscal year 2014 during the Obama administration. But it's still short of the 1 million deportation target that Trump set. CBS's Camila Montoya Galvez.
According to the data that we obtained, in the first 6 months of the second Trump administration, ICE carried out 150,000 deportations to migrants' home countries or to third countries that are accepting citizens that are not their own.
A federal appeals court rules President Trump's executive order curtailing birthright citizenship is unconstitutional. National Intelligence Director Tulsi Gabbard backs up claims by President Trump that former President Obama orchestrated the intelligence reports, suggesting Russia was trying to help Trump get elected in 2016. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
She last week referred various Obama administration officials to the Justice Department for potential prosecution. But let's remember, the Justice Department spent more than 3 years investigating this and whether there was any political interference, and found none.
President Trump is accusing Obama of treason. The Supreme Court clears the way for Trump to remove 3 members of the Consumer Product Safety Commission. It's similar to other cases. CBS's Jan Crawford.
Back in May, the same 6-3 Supreme Court majority blocked a lower court order preventing Trump from removing members of the National Labor Relations Board and the Merit System Protections Board. The justices said then that both agencies exercise considerable executive power. But in that order, the court was careful to note its reasoning did not apply to members of the Federal Reserve Board.
The world's top court paves the way for climate reparation.
In a landmark ruling, the United Nations International Court of Justice issued a unanimous advisory opinion from The Hague today, stating that countries can be held legally responsible for their greenhouse gas emissions and must compensate states impacted by climate change. While the opinion is not legally binding, and the U.S. does not acknowledge the jurisdiction of the court, the judges closed a loophole in their opinion, saying that the decision applies to any U.N. member that abides by international law.
This is CBS News.
Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers remain the best. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers with another win. They beat the Mariners in front of over 41,000 fans in Seattle, 10-2. Bryce Tarang with 3 hits and 5 at-bats, driving in 3 runs. So the Brewers win the series, and at 61-41, still have the best record in Major League Baseball right now, manager Pat Murphy.
I think you got to understand that this is a bunch of people that, you know, have gotten to this point and just kept clawing away. You know, they're hungry.
Up next, the crew hosts the Marlins on Friday night. NFL Packers training camp underway, but center Elgton Jenkins not participating as he waits for a new contract.
You know, Elton's always done right by us. I think we've always done right by him. But we're excited to kind of see him move to this new position because we really do think he has an opportunity to really help our football team. And the team needs as many reps with him out there as possible.
That's the Packers GM Brian Gutekunst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds in the overnight with a chance of showers and storms. Morning lows hovering around the 70-degree mark. Southwest winds. On Thursday, showers and storms around, plentiful clouds as well. Our high temperatures warming to the lower 80s. It's 69 at our studios.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Troubles in the courts for the Trump administration. Jim Samtale, former U.S. attorney and acting attorney, will join us to break it all down. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul VandenPlas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane's not on the air today, nor is Greg. They're off today, but Calvin's in the booth with us. Angela Lang is co-hosting with me. I'm Matt Rothschild. Always delighted to be able to be on Civic Media with Angela Lang and with you, the listener, to discuss what's going on in the world, to examine what Trump is doing to our democracy, and then to also sometimes lighten it up. We're going to be lighting it up in the next half hour after at 10:30, we're going to be talking about owls. So anyone who's got an owl story, get it ready for us, because we'll be listening to some owl hoots, and we'll also be talking about owls in Wisconsin. People who know me know I'm a crazy bird watcher, and as I like to say, that's a redundancy. All bird watchers are crazy. We only differ in degree. And now we've got Civic Media's prize-winning meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, joining the show. Thanks for coming on, Brittany.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, and welcome to my tent at Oshkosh EAA.
You're at the air show. Tell us how that's going. How's that going for you?
Fantastic. Sunny, hot weather, but the rain has moved in, so everyone is trying to button down, make sure, you know, the stay dry, because there's about 40,000 of us camping out here this week. So a lot of the pilots are asking me, when is the next round of storms coming? Will it hit Oshkosh? So I've been very, very busy this morning trying to help them out, see if they can get their planes out ahead of it, or tie them down before the storms do come through later. But the heat, we still have to get through that today. Oh my gosh, a heat advisory from Eau Claire to Green Bay and south. It's going to be in the low to mid 90s for many, many places, feeling more like 100 to 105 degrees. Oof. So tons of water. I am loading up, trying to stay hydrated out ahead of this. Stay cool, you guys. Get in that shade. Stay in the AC today.
Now, is this heat unusual for us in July in Wisconsin?
Well, it's summer, right? So we get warm. We do spike on occasion, but I was kind of doing some research on how many days we're actually hitting these 90s and above. And I was trying to see some trends and spikes, and it's hard to really pinpoint, say, today to 50 years ago, how many more do we actually have that are above 90 degrees? And it goes up and down, up and down. But one of the trends that I noticed is the ups are going up and up. They're getting warmer and warmer and warmer. And they're not only happening during El Nino years, where Wisconsin normally feels an even warmer summer, they're happening in La Nina years. Mm. So these are two major things that I'm seeing just flaring at me. And it's going to get warmer and warmer as we progress. And, you know, even forecasters and data and everything saying that 90 degree plus days, they're going to triple by 2050.
Oof. And wow. And that's because of climate change, right?
Oh, sorry, I've got tons of helicopters flying above me. What'd you say?
I say that trend is because of climate change. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So but it's not real, apparently.
At this point. No. And, it makes me
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, the Trump administration is cutting back on getting rid of the climate change scientists, cutting back on research and other programs into climate change, cutting the budget for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The last thing I heard last week was that they're cutting even flash flood research and notification programs, even after the disaster in Texas. What's your reaction to all these cuts?
Very, very aggravated, because this is so important. This is the public safety. You know, this is, we're here to help serve the public, keep you safe, keep you informed. We can't do that without research. We can't do that without people. We can't do that without the young generation trying to get into this as well. You know, even here at EAA, I have come here for 5 years in a row, and there's always been a National Weather Service and NOAA booth. I always go over there and chat with them. Guess what? They're not here this year. Mm-hmm. They're not here. There's a whole federal section, no RAD, other government areas, no National Weather Service or NOAA. That breaks my heart. I found one guy who was hanging out there who was helping forecast for this event, but they are so short-staffed. Mm-hmm. Personally, I have friends that have got promoted to chief officer in their National Weather Service locations, and they've got three people working underneath them. That's not enough. It is a stressful situation already when hurricanes and floods and tornadoes are ongoing. One person alone, three people, that's not enough to have eyes on that storm and keep the entire public safe. So this is scary. Long story short, it's scary. It's dangerous. It's concerning. My National Weather Service friends are on burnout already. They're getting very, very tired. They are helping each other out. So we've got offices in Iowa helping Wisconsin. Wisconsin's helping Kentucky. I mean, they're struggling. So it's frustrating.
Yeah, I had to wonder about what morale is like with meteorologists when you get together or when you're on group chats or whatever. There must be a lot of commiseration going on.
Yes. And what was I going to say? It's kind of like, it's hard to find the words because you can't say too much. But it's just scary because, like, let's say you wanted to switch fields or, you know, I wanted to always do research. That is amazing to me and so interesting. Now I can't. You know, people still in the industry are now
Brittany, we're losing
us, and we've worked our whole lives for this. We're passionate.
Yeah, the audio, unfortunately, is breaking up. I think we're going to have to say goodbye, but I want to thank you for joining Met and Air on Air today, and have fun at the Oshkosh Air Show at EAA.
And stay hydrated.
Yeah, stay cool.
Thank you. Will do.
All right, take
Thanks,
care.
Guys.
Yeah. Thanks.
What a treasure Brittany Merlot is for Civic Media to have. But yeah, I was just wondering, what is, you know, what do meteorologists talk about when they get together, given the savage cuts that we're seeing out of the Trump administration on climate change research, on flood research? And, you know, this is why we have government. I mean, we have government because, you know, we can't do it as individuals. We can't go get, you know, our Doppler radar or whatever it's called these days and figure out, you know, when the next hurricane is coming, when the flood is likely to surpass the river, surpass its banks, and all this stuff. Tornado
and it
warnings.
Shouldn't be political, like,
no,
at
all.
Like, it's weather. We're talking about alerting people so people can stay safe, so we can avoid these disasters as best as we can. You know, natural disasters are going to be, Mother Nature's going to be what she's going to be. But, you know, it feels, again, I sound like a broken record. It feels cruel to even be cutting researchers of weather that keep people safe. And for what? You know, there's no other reason to, outside of people wanting to be cruel. People just want to do whatever they want with no accountability and just further, I think, just terrorize this country. Again, it's weather. I don't understand how this has become a part of the Trump administration and on the chopping block.
I mean, the cruelty is astonishing. The callousness is astonishing. And so is the crudeness. I mean, what Doge and Elon Musk and those young troopers of theirs, tech troopers, are doing, they're going through government contracts. They're searching for words like climate change.
Yep.
And then any grant that has anything to do with climate change or global warming, they just yank it. They freeze it or try to rescind it. Same thing with DEI. Anything that mentions diversity, equity, or inclusion, anything that mentions racism, they're just, they put a hold on all those. That's their search.
It's just a blanket thing. It doesn't even make sense.
There's no case by case analysis or anything, and it's just appallingly crude. But that's where we're at here. And to go after the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration as though it's something evil or destructive or wasteful. I mean, here they're trying to save people's lives. I mean, how many natural disasters are we going to have to go through in this country before people recognize that, hey, maybe it's important to fund the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Maybe it's important to spend some money at the local, state, and federal level on warning systems. I mean, that's the lesson out of those horrible floods that we saw in Texas with those young girls who drowned at camp. Wanted to cost that much to have warnings like we have here in Wisconsin for tornado warnings, where we're blaring out of speakers all across the landscape to tell people, get in your basement, and would have told people there to get to high ground. Mm-hmm. And yet, people, one of those county board members said, I don't want to spend the money. It's not worth spending the money down there in Kerr County, Texas. Well, that didn't last. That didn't wear very well, that comment. And this is the thing. What do we spend our money on? What should we spend our money on? Are we spending money on, tax breaks for the billionaires? Are we spending money on, funding the oil and gas industry? Are we spending money on ICE? Are we spending money on the Pentagon? Or are we going to spend money or in exchange with, helping people stay safe? I mean, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is about life.
You're gonna take people's
lives away. And so that's the shocking thing about some of the anti-science cuts that are going on. Just the ramifications are just going to be horrible. And we've seen them already. And also, it's kind of like old Soviet-style science. We're not going to do real science. We're only going to do science that comports with what our great leader wants to hear.
We're going to control science.
Yeah. and just like they want to control everything. There can't be independent science. There can't be independent thought in the academy. There can't be judges that are independent. This is what an attack on civil society looks like. Mm-hmm. Broad, all across the board. And that's what Trump has been doing. He goes after the media. He's gone after CBS. He's gone after ABC. Yeah. He's gone after PBS. He's gone after NPR. I was happy to see that Civic Media posted a defense of public media, a defense of NPR and public TV on the website civicmedia.us. You can find it there if you're listening. An important defense of public media. The New York Times was writing about it as well. Of course, they're under fire, too, from the Trump administration. So these institutions of civil society are just being attacked. And then we see, Colbert is being fired. Where is it going to end?
That's where is it going to stop? It doesn't feel like it will. I don't know. And that's the scary part.
Yeah, I mean, is Rachel Maddow next? I mean, you got to wonder at what point Trump is, who's next in the gun sights of Donald Trump. I mean, now he's going after Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and it makes people wonder, who is going to be safe in this country? I mean, first it was the immigrants, and now he's going beyond the immigrants. I mean, that's what the strong men do. That's what the dictators do. That's what the fascists do. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Matt Rothschild, talking with my co-host today, Angela Lang, because Jane and Greg are off. We'll be back in a minute. You can join the conversation, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All of these things should sound off alarm bells bigly. You see what Donald Trump's doing with Harvard and with Columbia. You see what he's doing with Paramount. ABC capitulated in a lawsuit to Trump. We're America. We're not Hungary. We're a democracy. We're always going to be a democracy. Yeah, that's what they thought in Hungary. The way that Viktor Orban and the right wing gained power was by using a little bit of power to get more power, to use pressure on networks.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm guest hosting along with Angela Lang this morning. Thanks for listening. The number to call is 855-752-4842. Glad to be on the Civic Media Radio Network. And we do have a caller, I understand, Calvin. So we've got Gene. Gene, are you there? Do we have Gene? Should we wait a second, Calvin, and come back to Gene? I guess we're going to have to do that. Gene, if you dropped off and want to call back, that would be great. The number, again, 855-752-4842. I want to thank our last two guests, Brittany Merlot, the great meteorologist, prize-winning meteorologist of Civic Media. She's at the Oshkosh Air Show, the EAA, right now, as you may have been able to detect in the background, and Becky Rabatin of Independence First in Milwaukee, and disability rights organization that is helping to celebrate the 35th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is this Saturday, if you can believe it. Hard to believe that it's been around that long. I remember, and Bob Dole was the guy who got it, helped get it through to Bob Dole, and a different kind of Republican. Number one, a Republican with a sense of humor. I don't think Donald Trump has laughed once, except in a sadistic way, in his whole life. And Bob Dole was a really funny, genuinely funny person, and was tremendous on this issue. Himself had a disability. So a salute to an old-style Republican, and certainly celebration of the ADA and its 35th anniversary. Angela, you had a story that caught your attention.
Yeah, so like while we're talking about the ADA, I'm reminded of the story that I just learned about a few days ago, actually, that there is a man in a wheelchair from Fox Crossing who is riding 92 miles to Madison in his wheelchair to advocate for higher home wages for home care workers. And I'm like, I just don't think this is getting enough attention that it deserves. But the fact that he, you know, he started Sunday, I believe, and he receives home care, and he says that, you know, his home care aid should be provided with basic dignity and independence, or he has dignity and independence, but he's concerned about some of the working conditions and, you know, what that means for his level of care. And I, when I worked for SEIU, the Service Employees International Union, we were having the same fight 12 years ago, trying to raise wages for home care workers who provide this critical support, and there's a shortage. And I did see that currently the average health aide earns about $34,000 a year. Roughly $17 an hour, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Hard to make rent that way.
Right. And so when you're thinking about, you know, and then you think of like Medicaid and Medicare and all of those things, all of these challenges that folks are having. And I think there's something to be said that someone that receives this level of care is also advocating for the folks that are providing this care. So I think it's a great story. He is live streaming his journey. His name is Carl. He is on YouTube under the name Quad Carl. And then there's also ways that folks can support him as well. But I think it's a powerful story. You know, we hear people that are like, I'm walking here, I'm walking there. But I've never seen someone say, I'm going to ride 92 miles in my own wheelchair in order to raise awareness about this. And I think more people should be paying attention, including these elected officials.
Hats off to Quad Carl. Mm-hmm. You can look him up and follow his journey here. And we need that kind of activism too. And people who do home health care, home care for elderly people, people with disabilities. It's really hard work. My parents had folks taking care of them in their home. And I am also going to an independent living facility in Madison to visit a friend there. And those people work really hard. Mm-hmm. And they are underpaid. And yeah, you mentioned the fact that workers are scarce, and they're going to be more scarce with this assault on immigrants, because a lot of the folks in that industry are immigrant laborers. And with Trump's, mass deportation, there are going to be fewer and fewer people willing to do that, able to do that, because they're worried they're going to be deported. And so this is the one crisis after another. There's a wage crisis. There's a labor supply crisis. The home care industry is woefully exploitative, in my opinion, of the people who work there, with the pay so low. And the work, is tough. Mm-hmm. And any of us who've been in that position with our parents or grandparents or loved ones or persons with disabilities in our families, we have to honor the work these people are doing, respect the work, appreciate the work. And join, Carl and his quest to get more higher wages, decent wages, living wages, as they used to say at SEIU. Mm-hmm. And they're still saying it at SEIU for people in the workplace. I mean, here in Wisconsin, the minimum wage hasn't moved from $7.25. Can you believe that? $7.25. $7.25 in decades. So we need to get to a living wage here. And they used to laugh when people were demanding $15 an hour, and $15 an hour doesn't cut it right now. So this is a part of the crisis we're facing in Wisconsin and in this country, just low pay work. And one of the problems with Obama was he didn't index the tiny increase in the minimum wage to inflation. So it's just staggered there at $7.25. Horrible. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm here with Angela Lang. We'll be back after the break, and we're going to get to some owls, sounds of owls, owls that you've been hearing. You can call and let us know what you're hearing or seeing, 855-752-4842. Matt and Air on Air, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. Columbia University will pay over $200 million to the Trump administration to restore federal funding. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
This settlement with Columbia may serve as a template for Harvard and other universities who are in hot water on civil rights violations and DEI decision-making.
The full House may not vote for now on requesting release of the Jeffrey Epstein files, but CBS's Erica Brown reports a committee has taken action.
The House Oversight Committee passed a motion to subpoena Epstein's co-conspirator and convicted sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell to appear for a deposition.
Texas lawmakers are looking into the deadly flooding there, as correspondent Jason Allen reports from Austin.
A lot of the focus today really was on what emergency managers did or didn't know, right? They didn't know, they said, that the rain was going to fall as hard as it did and where it did.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
The Brewers remain the best. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers with another win. They beat the Mariners in front of over 41,000 fans in Seattle, 10-2. Bryce Terang with three hits and five at-bats, driving in three runs. So the Brewers win the series, and at 61-41, still have the best record in Major League Baseball right now, manager Pat Murphy.
I think you got to understand that this is a bunch of people that, you know, have gotten to this point and just kept clawing away. You know, they're hungry.
Up next, the crew hosts the Marlins on Friday night. NFL Packers training camp underway, but center Elgton Jenkins not participating as he waits for a new contract.
You know, Elton's always done right by us. I think we've always done right by him. But we're excited to kind of see him move to this new position because we really do think he has an opportunity to really help our football team. And the team needs as many reps with him out there as possible.
That's the Packers GM Brian Gutekunst with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Another potential big-time blockbuster hits the big screen this weekend at your local theaters. Fantastic Four: First Steps is the latest mega movie summer release, and reviews are pretty good. The film, which stars Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, and the Bears' Ebon Moss-Bacharach, is currently pulling an 87% certified fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. If you're wondering about the plot, well, I don't want to spoil it, but let's just say there's a lot of superhero-type stuff happening. If you're tired of franchise or superhero films and want a good scare, you have two options this weekend. The first has only one review, and it is negative. The second is called Together, and it is pulling a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Together stars Dave Franco and Alison Brie and follows the story of a couple who decide to move to the country, which sounds great in real life, but in the movies, it is never a good idea. If you like the supernatural and the Franco brother that isn't Creepy James, check it out. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds in the overnight with a chance of showers and storms. Morning lows hovering around the 70-degree mark. Southwest winds. On Thursday, showers and storms around. Plentiful clouds as well. Our high temperatures warming to the lower 80s. Right now, it's 70.
Matt and Air on Air.
Kareen Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Kareen, about the need for childcare in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome radio legend Steve Cochran, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. Then the Overture Center's Tim Sowers joins me to give us a preview of upcoming shows. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane and Greg are off today. Calvin's still with us, though, and I'm still with you. I'm Matt Rothschild, and Angela Lang's still with you.
Yes, indeed.
It's great to have you. I love co-hosting with you, Angela. It's always a lot of fun.
Same. It's always good conversations, no matter what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much to talk about, Lord knows.
And good guests.
Good guests. Yeah, we had good guests today. Becky Rabatin of Independence First, Brittany Merlot. You know, one of the things I love about Jane's show is at 10:30, she usually says it's time for a palate cleanser or something like that. You know, a little sorbet to clear our palate from the heavy political stuff and talk about a little bit lighter. You know, it can't be politics all the time. There are other things in our lives that are beautiful and important and lovely. And for me, one of those things is birds. And as I mentioned, I want to do a little bit of owl talk this morning. And you listening can join in. What owls are you seeing? What owls are you hearing? The number to call is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can text or call. We got a text from Brad. In general, he asks, how's the great horned owl population? I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's pretty sturdy. He said we lost our resident great horned owl in our neighborhood park, Swede Hollow Park. I think that's in Minnesota, probably due to bird flu. Yeah, bird flu is a problem, especially as you get up the scale here for predators. The birds at my bird feeder right now, the goldfinches and house finches and chickadees and the titmouse, the small birds aren't being affected by bird flu as much. Mm. So you can still keep feeding your birds, but, you know, the hawks and the owls can be more susceptible to it because they prey on, you know, infected chickens, for instance. They would catch the bird flu that way. And a great horned owl is the king of the forest, I like to say, because it's the most, it's the best hunter out there, other than like a peregrine falcon who isn't in the forest. But a great horned owl will eat anything. It will eat other owls, even. Not other great horned owls, but smaller owls if it's, yeah.
Well, the more you know, wow.
Yeah, it's rough out there.
Clearly.
It'll eat anything that moves. You don't want to be walking your little dog out there at dusk. Because a great horned owl might swoop down and take that, too. We've got the sound. I think Calvin's got the sound for us of the great horned owl. If you got it, Calvin, let's give a listen. And it'll come back. We have these in our yard. Yeah, so this is the classic. Mm-hmm. This is the classic great horned owl sound. I live just south of Madison, 10 miles south of Madison on the Wabisa Wetlands. And so we have great horned owls. We hear them hooting usually more in December and January when they mate. They're unlike other birds. The owls mate in January, and it takes them a while for their babies to get big enough to fly. The smaller birds adapt faster and are able to get off the nest faster. But the owls take some time, so that's why they mate in the middle of winter. And they really make a racket in the middle of winter. So that was the great horned owl. For contrast, here's another common big owl that you can find anywhere across Wisconsin. It's called a barred owl. And Calvin, if you'll play that one. Who cooks for you? That's the mnemonic device. Yeah, so that's the barred owl, and we've got barred owls too in the neighborhood. And again, yeah, the great horned owl would attack and eat a barred owl.
I feel like if I heard that, I wouldn't think that was an owl.
Yeah, it's very eerie. All these owl sounds at night are scary, kind of scary, eerie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you were out camping in the middle of a forest somewhere or on the beach, once you got through the portage or something and you put your tent up on the beach and there are trees all around and you started hearing this in the middle of the night, it might freak you out. But yeah. Those, they won't attack you. I mean, they're not like red-winged blackbirds that will bomb your head if you come next to their nests.
Sure.
But I wouldn't climb a tree where there's an owl nest, though. Then you'd get bombed.
Oh, yeah, but, and rightfully so. Stay away from the nest.
Yeah, stay away from any bird nest. But that's the barred owl, which is neat. We got a text from Greg who says, have you guys ever known any blind owls? He's a blind man. I'm totally thankful for the Americans with Disabilities Act. Yes, we are celebrating the 35th anniversary of the ADA, Greg, and thanks for the text. Blind owls, some birds get blind sometimes, but I don't know of owls being blind. You know, there's been a disease at bird feeders for smaller birds, conjunctivitis with the house finches, for instance. You need to clean your bird feeders pretty regularly so they don't get pass disease on one to the next, but there isn't a huge outbreak of it right now, not that I've heard anyway. So there's another owl that's common in Wisconsin. It's a smaller owl. It's called a screech owl. And Calvin, we have the noise for that, the sound of the screech owl, don't we? This sounds like a horse neighing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's eerie, too, in the middle of the night.
It's that last part, that little like vibrato part at the end that is like, is that a horse?
Yeah, it's very strange. That's a screech owl. Now, screech owls, they're smaller. They're kind of like a almost cardinal size, except stockier, fatter. Okay. And they come in two colors. They come in orange and they come in gray. In fact, you could have a brother who's gray and a sister who's orange or vice versa.
Oh.
So it's interesting. They're fun. They're very camouflaged next to the tree trunk. Typically, they're hard to see. They're easier to hear. I was on the porch of my brother's and sister-in-law's house in Evanston about a month ago. And it was at 10 o'clock at night. We're just having conversation, me and my wife and my brother and his wife. And there was a screech owl. We could barely hear it, but there it was with that weird horse noise. So tell us your owl stories. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. The last audio I prepared for us today is a juvenile great horned owl that has an even more alarming sound. And I heard this just the other night too. This isn't my tape. All this comes from Cornell University, the best ornithology department in the country. It's kind of the mecca for bird watchers. Mm-hmm. And their website, allaboutbirds.org, you can find everything there under the sun, allaboutbirds.org. And you also get the Merlin device that you can put on your phone that identifies every sound that is out there. But let's play this juvenile great horned owl, Calvin, if you could. Oof. Yeah, that's nasty. We have a good text, a wise text from Greg. How do you tell an owl sound from that of a dove? So what Greg is referring to is the sound of the mourning dove, and maybe at break we'll be able to grab the sound of the mourning dove. That's mourning. The mourning dove sounds a little bit like an owl. People think they have owls in their yard in the middle of the day when they hear this owl-like sound, but 99 out of 100 times it's not an owl, it's a mourning dove. So we'll try to bring that sound to you in a couple minutes. You got it? Oh, aren't you great, Calvin? Why don't you shoot? That's not the mourning dove. This is the mourning dove.
Yeah,
that's the mourning dove. that last little bit was classic Mourning Dove. So you can see why people would think, wow, we have an owl right here. But it's not an owl. It's a Mourning Dove. I used to think Mourning Dove was because it was doing that noise in the morning. But
right, I did too.
That's when I was a geeky four-year-old bird watcher, and then I realized it's spelled differently and means something different because it's a mournful kind of a sound. That's how the name came. It's kind of sad. That is a mourning dove. The mourning dove is related to the passenger pigeon, now extinct. You can see a memorial to the passenger pigeon out at Wyalusing State Park in Wisconsin. Up, if you go up to the top of the hill at Wyalusing State Park, there's this memorial for the mourning doves. I'm not the mourning doves, for the passenger pigeons. Passenger pigeons, according to accounts, used to darken the skies in Wisconsin. They would migrate through, and the hunters just slaughtered them all.
Oh, wow. I was going to ask how they got extinct, if that was also another climate change thing.
No. This was the last mourning dove, the last passenger pigeon, excuse me again. Last passenger pigeon was early in the 20th century. They've been gone a long time. And, you know, it's these extinction stories are so hard, so painful.
Yeah.
And we're at what scientists are calling the sixth extinction now. Not for bird species alone, but for a whole bunch of species. So, yeah, Wyalusing State Park, one of the greatest places to see birds in Wisconsin. You can see a beautiful warbler there called a prothonotary warbler, which has a golden, orange, golden breast and head and blue-gray wings. It nests down on the water's edge there. If you go to where the boat launch is at Wyalusing State Park and in the marshes adjacent to the boat launch, you can see, probably could see today, prothonotary warblers there with their babies. And there also is a beautiful warbler. The only other place I've ever seen this warbler, I've seen a prothonotary warbler at the in Madison at the Arboretum at Picnic Point, and occasionally nests there at the marsh and Picnic Point. But at Wyalusing State Park, you can also see a bird called a cerulean warbler. That is a bluish warbler. It's got a beautiful sound. It's one of the only places you can reliably see cerulean warblers and prothonotary warblers in Wisconsin. Wyalusing State Park, you know, again, these are common goods, our state parks.
Yeah. We have a lot of gems in Wisconsin. I think a lot of folks haven't fully, I know myself, I haven't fully explored every inch of the state, but there's always good stuff to do, and especially the parks.
Devil's Lake State Park is tremendous. I have friends who go climbing there. There are golden eagles at Devil's Lake State Park in the wintertime. There are turkey vultures there right now. Peninsula State Park is an incredible state park up in Door County, where I've seen amazing warblers in May. Our state parks, our wildlife refuge, National Wildlife Refuge. I went to Horicon recently. That's a beautiful place. What do you got for us, Calvin? Oh, I thought you had another bird. I thought you had another bird for us. I was going to cut to the bird again. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Matt Rothschild, geeking out on birds with Angela Lang. And we will be right back maybe this shouldn't be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Please join us right after this break.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I've been trying to learn sheep's head for 40 years. My father-in-law is still a card counter, knows what everybody has. It is so easy to go, oh gosh, I still don't know who the partner is. And is that a trump card or is it not? And so I'm still asking myself all these questions while they're busy taking all of my nickels. The one thing that got me where they allow me to play is getting the app. For all the technology that's out there, that is one of the positive notes.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane and Greg are off today, but I'm doing the show with Calvin in the booth and with Angela Lang guest hosting with me, and it's been my pleasure to be able to do this, Angela, with you again. So much fun.
It's been a good show. Always is. Also, like, I'm looking at the comments. Shout out to Greg, who's been talking and commenting on YouTube. We always appreciate everybody that's like listening, whether it's on the app, on streaming, because this is how we have conversations. You know, Matt and I kind of nerd out over birds and fascism, but we always are excited to hear that folks are listening and chiming in on the conversation too.
Yeah, and I'd love to get coffee with you, Greg, if I'm in, when I'm in Waukesha next. I saw your notes. So, you know, before we leave owls totally alone right now, I also love poetry, and I've got an owl poem by, of all people, Emily Dickinson, and it's short. This is called "The Judge is Like the Owl." The judge is like the owl, I've heard my father tell, and owls do build in oaks, so here's an amber sill that slanted in my path when going to the barn. And if it serve you for a house, itself is not in vain. About the price, 'tis small. I only ask a tune at midnight. Let the owl select his favorite refrain. So I hope you all have a owl selecting his favorite refrain at midnight tonight or tomorrow night or the next night, so you get to see and hear this magnificent bird. It's crazy owls. I love them. Great horned owl. Barred owl, screech owl, whatever you got, they're fun.
So let me ask you, because I feel like there's always this question, and I think Darren, State Rep Madison, and I were talking about this one time, of how many owls would you have to see during the day to make you realize something was wrong?
Well, some owls hunt by day.
Mm-hmm.
There is a short-eared owl that'll hunt at dusk. That's also in Wisconsin. The snowy owl occasionally will hunt by day. But most owls hunt by night, yeah. And if mm-hmm. you start, it's weird. When you see animals, it's like seeing a raccoon or a possum in the middle of the day. You say something's
yeah.
wrong.
Yeah, you're like, whoa. So,
yeah, something's wrong. Maybe we should call, you know, animal support or something, because there's that to worry about. You know, another great thing I love about Jane's show is that they do this shouldn't be a thing. And Calvin, if you want to introduce the music, let me know. Otherwise, I'll just shoot. But I love the intro usually.
This shouldn't be a thing.
So this is a snake episode. This is from July 22nd, UPI. Firefighters in a Chicago suburb were called to a commuter train to help capture a python that got loose from its owner and slithered into a control box panel. The Oak Park Fire Department said that firefighters responded to a CTA Green Line train on a call for assistance in securing a python. The snake, named Lucius, had slithered away from its owner and it's made its way into a control box panel aboard the train. Yeah, that shouldn't be a thing. You shouldn't
snakes on a train. Okay.
Snakes on a train.
There was a movie, Snakes on a Plane. Now there's snakes on a train in real life.
Python on a train. Keep your python at home. Just
every time with these segments, I'm like, I have questions.
Yeah. What were you thinking?
Maybe they were on the way to the vet. I don't know. Do snakes go to the vet? I assume they do.
I imagine they do, but
I don't know.
If you're on public transportation, you might want to keep that python securely fastened.
Or maybe spring for an Uber, you know, more of a private mode of transportation if you're carrying a python with you.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of snakes.
I will take a snake over a spider, which sounds very strange because spiders are very tiny, but like I can deal with a snake. I don't like them. Also, back in, I don't know, 2004 or whatever year it was, Britney Spears made snakes cool when she had, like, the yellow snake around her. But, like, I'll touch a snake. Okay, great. But spiders and things with lots of legs, can't do
That's
that.
It's like an old country music song. I don't like spiders or snakes.
Yep.
I'm not going to sing it for you. I will not punish the listeners. On Matt and Air on Air to listen to my bad singing voice on a bad country song. That would be doubly bad. That would be bad.
We want people to continue listening.
For sure. But this shouldn't be a thing. And again, my hat's off to Jane and Greg for doing that every day. It's something I look forward to when I'm listening to their show.
Yeah,
I'm sad that the show doesn't air live in Madison. I'm such a dinosaur technologically that I hadn't had the Civic Media app, which is tremendous to get. But mm-hmm. once Jane's show wasn't airing in Madison, that's when I downloaded the app. And so now I listen to Matt and Air on Air on my phone while I'm doodling on the computer.
Because
I don't want to miss either. I think they're both tremendous, and yeah. I love everything they do with their show. And look forward to listening to them tomorrow. That's Matt and Air on Air. I want to thank Jane and Greg for allowing Angela and me to take the wheel and the mic here from them for this day. I want to thank Calvin for producing and helping out and getting all those owl sounds, which were mm-hmm. terrific. Becky Rabatin, I want to thank. She was our guest from Independence First in Milwaukee, a disability rights group that's helping to celebrate the 35th anniversary of the Americans with Disability Act, and also prize winner meteorologist Brittany Merlot at the air show in Oshkosh. Always great to hear from her. And thanks to the texters and the callers. The great Tom Hartman is next. It's been my pleasure being with you. And thanks again, Angela.
Thanks.
listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Columbia University has agreed to pay a $200 million settlement to the Trump administration. This is to restore federal funding the administration had pulled over administration accusations involving anti-Semitism and DEI initiatives. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum has more on how it will work.
While there will be an outside third-party monitor determining whether it is in compliance, the government will not interfere with university decision-making or the implementation of these changes. Columbia will be able to address these matters independently.
The school had been threatened with a potential loss of billions of dollars in government research funding. It was an emotional day in a Boise, Idaho courtroom as victims' family and friends lashed out at Brian Koberger, who pleaded guilty to killing four University of Idaho college students in 2022. Correspondent Andres Gutierrez tells us